Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, all good things must come to an end, apparently, and including hefty rebounds for markets. And while most are still keeping most of their gains from June's strong start, there's a gentle but sobering reminder from the Federal Reserve that the road to recovery will be a long and uncertain one, and that seems to have brought some investors here and across the region back down to earth. Well, today on Market View this Thursday, we're joined by Oriano Liza, sales trader at CMC Markets, to talk about what he's seeing in the floors in terms of fundamentals and sentiment, and whether or not he thinks this could be a shift for markets and perhaps a cooling down after June's strong start. Oriano, thanks so much for joining us. Glad to hear that you're in a good stead and in good spirits. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, thanks, JP. Thanks so much for having me on. Sort of business as usual from our side.
The Straits Times Index is starting off Thursday in the red, and it seems that 2,800 is proving to be a bridge too far, perhaps. Do you think that the rally, at least, that started out in June is definitely over? And just how much of a role did some of these sobering reminders that an economic recovery will be a long and grueling one, how much of that played it perhaps into, you know, markets starting off a little more sheepishly and more lacklusterly today?
Yeah, I think you touched on a good point there in terms, JP, of the reminder that investors do need to keep in touch with in the current climate. There is, the markets at the moment are obviously still relatively volatile. They are coming off a little bit. And I think that was sort of emphasised in the discussions yesterday by the Fed, that the road to recovery is a sort of long and sort of gradual, timeframe to get back to. So I guess what we're seeing the last couple of days, we've seen three consecutive days of losses, or specifically with the S&P and the Dow, if we're referencing the equity market. NASDAQ has obviously continued to go higher. But I think you should take that with a pinch of salt, because they are heavily weighted, obviously, within the FANG stocks, where a lot of investors, both retail and institutional, are starting to put capital in as a form of a safe haven. Myself personally, I do believe that the market is overheated or is overvalued at the moment, and we are likely to see a sell-off. I guess the question is, for so many investors out there, is when is this going to happen? The artificial simulation by the Fed has helped prop up these markets, and it is artificially propped up. So I think this will over time start to sell off, and the risk to investors is something that I think is quite important. We've seen a gradual incline to these sort of new historical highs, but the downside will be a lot more accelerated. So people need to be aware about the risks involved, and that downside move does eventually occur.
Now, Oriano, the Federal Reserve's outlook that the U.S. economy is going to shrink by that much didn't really catch a lot of folks by surprise. And a lot of economic bodies were warning that the downturn this year is going to be quite severe. We've known that for a while, yet markets still went ahead and priced in the V-shaped recovery. Why do you think there was a bit of a disconnect between these economic realities that we frankly knew about for the most part, and that recent run-up that we saw driving stocks? Was this just a liquidity driving momentum, or was it something else that proved that perhaps that drove that disconnect based on your observations?
Yeah, I think that liquidity drive from the Fed and a wider sort of global rhetoric in terms of the fiscal stimulus, which is happening around the world, has continued to drive those markets higher. And that kind of eternal optimism from an investment standpoint is definitely embedded into the markets at the moment. You have probably heard and listeners as well about the disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street. I feel that is continuing to gather momentum and pace when we look at fundamentals like employment, CPI, and key sort of fundamental data. It's not aligning with, obviously, the gradual increase in those equity markets. I guess a bit of concern from my side is that if we're using the equity market as a proxy for the overall financial global health, then they are definitely inversely correlated. So people should use it as some sort of benchmark, but they should look to wider markets as well for a bit more reference.
We're still speaking to Mr. Oriano Liza, sales trader over at CMC Markets here on Market View for Money FM 89.3. Oriano, again, the other thing that's also been driven up recently are also some of these valuation metrics we use. PE ratios are pretty high, but in part also because the earnings outlook for many stocks seems to have declined even further and doesn't foreshadow any recovery anytime soon. Do you think that markets are necessarily pricey, or do you think that perhaps we should tolerate these high PE ratios because of all that liquidity out there that's trying to find places to get to? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think slowly but surely the switch, and I think that was emphasized in the Fed, in Jerome Powell's comments yesterday, there will be a switch back to the sort of data-driven or the fundamental-driven metrics, basically, of the market. And I think that's fair to say also about the equity markets and specific stocks in question. Companies with high PEs, obviously, are, you know, they are supposedly being touted as, you know, sort of growth prospect companies, but what we're actually, I do believe, seeing is just an overvaluation of stocks. To put it into perspective, I think we've seen investors, like if you look at the health stocks, we've seen investors piling in to stocks that have filed for bankruptcy, which has seen, you know, astronomical and exponential moves higher when they're on the brink of effective collapse. So this is the kind of, and this takes you back to market structure. So the structure within the markets where we used to use these metrics like for PE, price to book, these things to really value companies is somewhat dislocated at the moment.
I'd like to stay on that point you made. There's a lot of retail investors coming in, but again, just the sight of all of these retail investors favoring some of these insolvent stocks or just blindly shooting at anything that moves in the markets. How concerning is that sign for traders when you start to see a lot of these investment moves from perhaps not as sophisticated investors that might also not really have a rhyme or reason based on their investment decisions?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's one of the more concerning elements of the current market structure is the increase in retail flows. Obviously, we know that increase is driven a lot from people having more time, having a little bit of extra capital to put into the market. Also, the fact that specifically for markets like in the US, where there's no sport on, so there's no sort of gambling, which is able where people would normally also deploy money, it's really being filtered into the stock market, which is the main winner. The major concern is obviously, exactly right, the education or the sophistication of the investors at heart. And because the markets at the moment, the current mature markets like your index, FX markets, because they are quite choppy and the intraday moves within those markets are, you know, quite wide, what I think investors from a retail perspective are looking at is looking for those quick sort of gains. So they're looking to pile into stocks, and that's why a lot of those potentially insolvent companies have gained traction, because people are looking, moved away from the sort of fundamental, more structured approach to investing to a more sort of volatility, opportunistic type approach.
You'd think that in times of trouble and crisis that investors, especially when you look at the behavior investors, that they'd be more cautious. But again, these very quick moves into these markets and these risky trades, that doesn't seem to underpin a sense of caution and that you'd associate with markets in a downturn. Can you care to comment on that and whether or not this risk-taking is born out of a disconnect or basically just desperation from folks who are trying to find any way to salvage their portfolios right now?
Yeah, there could be, I think there will be a definite move, like the move away from the traditional markets where people will have been, sort of, like some of their capital would have been, I guess, withered away by some of these, you know, either continued moves like we've seen in equity markets or maybe some of the, downside moves earlier in the year in March. People will be looking for, I guess, quick fire ways to obviously, like you mentioned there, restore portfolios and restore their capital. It doesn't align obviously with traditional risk based approaches to trading or investing, whichever kind you sit in. And that's what we're seeing at the moment. So the sort of general rhetoric that I'm trying to drive home to traders that, you know, I discuss the markets with is more of a preservation or sort of a defensive approach. As cliche as that kind of might sound, I think what's most important, and the question I often get is, oh, when is the market going to sell off or how much longer is the market going to go higher for? I think what I try to, drive through to our customers is that they need to have the capital at the time when the market displays or exhibits a sort of true definitive direction, whether that be up or down. A lot of retail investors at the moment are getting caught in these consolidation periods and trying to take, you know, small amounts of profit, where what they should be doing is preserving capital for those downside or continual upside moves.
And finally, Oriano, care to give us your revise if you have a new outlook on Singapore's markets? As we mentioned, we're coming back down. It seems we're not going to be threatening 2,800 anytime soon, bar a sudden positive surprise for the economy or markets. What is your outlook now for Singapore's markets, given we seem to have snapped that strong start to June? And if there are any sectors that you might be trying to watch out for as providing just a little bit more juice?
Yeah, sure. I think in terms of the local markets, JP, clients do need to be wary. If I look from a fundamental perspective, I think Singapore is going to feel the sort of pinch and the squeeze to the sort of common man on the street. So they do need to be sort of wary. We will see a little bit more of a continued downside. You mentioned that 2800 level. In terms of sort of sectorial plays, I've got an interesting take. I actually think the banks will show some of the most resilience within this time. It would be a slow, gradual recovery. So the financial sector specifically, low interest rates obviously impacting balance sheets at the moment. But like we saw, we are going to be in this low interest rate environment for a period of time. But they do have, and maybe it's lessons learned from 2008, they do have those stronger capitalised balance sheets now due to regulatory change to actually absorb a lot of the shock. And they're the sort of industries you need to be able to look into. We see hikes in healthcare, hikes in energies off low bases. That's fine, but that will be probably more short-term. If I'm looking for a longer investment horizon, I'd be looking into financials for a bit more value.
All right, Oriano Liza, sales trader at CMC Markets. Thank you so much for spending, taking some time out of your busy Thursday to join us here on Money FM 89.3 to assess the future and outlook of the markets. As always, stay safe and stay in good health out there and have a great rest of the day.
You too, JP. Thanks a lot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.